Hello, everyone, and again, this is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another Christ-exalting program called The Voice of the Gospel. And friends, I'm so thankful that God has directed you to this radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. You know, I believe there are many so-called clergymen today who can't declare the truth of God's Word for two apparent reasons. First of all, many of them are not saved themselves, and therefore they are blind spiritual leaders of the blind. And secondly, if they do know the truth of God's Word, they're afraid to preach it because they fear man rather than God. Yes, they're afraid of losing their congregation and the subsequent financial support. Well, thank God I don't have to worry about a congregation. No, I don't have a board of deacons or elders to decide whether or not I should be rehired for another year. Friends, I also thank God that I'm not depending upon an unsaved congregation to keep the broadcast on the air. No, I have complete freedom in the conduct of this program. I believe in telling it just like it is. God's Word says that we're all sinners, so I preach it. It also says that we are completely incapable of saving our own souls, so I preach it. Yes, and the Bible says that if we don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior, we'll endure eternal punishment in the lake of fire. So I preach it. Friends, I have no time for spineless preachers who water down the truth of God's Word. The salvation of the soul is far too important a matter to treat lightly. And furthermore, if there are any so-called clergymen listening in today, remember this. God is going to hold you accountable for the souls of your congregation. Think about that when you're pussyfooting up on the platform. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our God and our Father, we bow in thy presence again today to thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his love and for his mercy and the grace that took him to Calvary. We thank thee, our God, for all the virtue and the value of his shed blood nearly 2,000 years ago. But our God, we thank thee that that blood is just as powerful today, for it's the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that can still cleanse from all sin. And our God, should there be any unsaved listening in today, we pray that thy Holy Spirit might speak to them, bring conviction and conversion to their heart and soul, save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now then, I'm not going to have a hymn at the beginning of the program because I'm not sure just how long the subject I have in mind is going to take. So if we have time at the end of the program, we'll have a hymn to play. But at the present time, those of you who have your Bibles or New Testaments handy and would care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be using as the portion to discuss today John's Gospel, Chapter 5. John's Gospel, Chapter 5. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Now, friends, in the portion of Scripture which I've just read to you today, we have brought before us quite vividly the twofold fact of man's ruin and God's marvelous remedy. Yes, here in John chapter 5, we have presented to us practically every facet of the gospel of God's grace. We have here in this portion of God's Word a sad sinner, a seeking Savior, and a satisfying salvation. Now, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like for you to realize, my friend, the real significance of this incident in the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. First of all, in the third verse of John chapter 5, we find the condition of those who were lying by the pool of Bethesda, which, by the way, means the house of mercy. We read that they were impotent. Impotent. Now, friends, the dictionary definition of the word impotent is lacking in strength or endowed with weakness. And, sinner friend, that's your condition in the sight of God today if you've never been born again by the Holy Spirit of God from above. Yes, you're impotent insofar as saving yourself is concerned. You're lacking in strength, and because you were born in sin and chastened in iniquity, you are endowed with spiritual weakness. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that if we're unsaved, we are dead in trespasses and in sin. We have no fellowship with God, and we are strangers to His marvelous, matchless, electing grace, which was manifested in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, from Genesis chapter 3 up to the present day, man has been seeking to gain strength from the world, the flesh, and the devil. He has been seeking, with no success, to lift himself up, as it were, by his own bootstraps. And he has attempted by every man-made and devil-inspired device to gain favor with the holy and a righteous God. But friend, it'll never work. No, it'll never work. God's Word declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And friend, the God of heaven tells us that there is none that doeth good. No, not one. So friend, why not give up your attempts to please God by your own efforts, your so-called good works, your religious activity, your church membership, or your social gospel of kindness to others? The psalmist could cry out in Psalm 6 and verse 2, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me." Again, in Psalm 41 and verse 4, he said, "Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." Yes, David knew what it meant to be weak and to lack the strength which comes from God alone. And you know, my friend, you'll never be saved until you admit to God that you are entirely incapable of saving your own soul. In Romans 5 and 6 we read, "For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly." You notice there we have the impotence of man? Yes, we're impotent. Again, in the 8th verse of that same Romans chapter 5 we read, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So you see, friend, before you can possibly be saved or born again into the family of God, you must acknowledge your sinful condition in His sight, and you must admit that you are spiritually impotent. Yes, you're weak. You're endowed with spiritual weakness. You're unable to do anything to save your own soul. I'm reminded of what I've been told concerning the shepherds in the mountains of Scotland. It seems that when a sheep is lost and is found on some overhanging crag of rock, that the shepherd makes no immediate attempt to rescue the animal, because he knows that the sheep would try to assist in his rescue and thus endanger both their lives in the struggle. So what does the shepherd do? Well, he leaves the sheep alone until it becomes so weak and exhausted that he is unable to struggle. In other words, the sheep is entirely dependent upon the shepherd for his rescue or salvation. And friend, that's the way it is with the salvation of the soul. The sinner must admit that his sins have nailed the Son of God to Calvary's cross. He must admit that God would be perfectly just if he cast him into hell. Yes, he must see himself as God sees him, weak, lost, guilty, and deserving of eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Well, friends, Jesus Christ tells us over in Luke 19 and 10 that he only came to seek and to save those who were lost. Again in Luke 5 and verse 32 he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now then, in this third verse of John chapter 5, we find several types of impotency. And it's not mere coincidence that these types find an analogy among the unsaved today. No siree, friend. The Spirit of God does not allow for coincidence in the Word of God. Every word and every letter we have in the Scriptures has vast significance and is of the utmost importance. Now then, the four types of impotency we have mentioned here in John chapter 5 and verse 3 are these: the blind, the halt, the withered, and the waiting. Now the blind, I believe, would speak of those who are completely indifferent to the Word of God. These people may even be atheists. They may be those who believe that death is the end of a soul. They may be those who are so engrossed with the power of man that they cannot see the power of God. These people are so blinded by life to the extent that they never give one thought to death and eternity. And these people are blindly following their father the devil down the road to hell and the ultimate lake of fire. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, here's what we read. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, meaning the devil, of course, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Friend, before we go any further, let me ask you, are you blind to your condition before God? Are you, my friend? Are your eyes covered by the scales of religious activity, good works, and self-righteousness? Friend, are you groping in the darkness of sin without a hope for the great beyond? Well, friend, if you are, then let me hasten to remind you that Jesus Christ tells us over in John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Again in John 13 and verse 46 he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Yes, Jesus Christ is the only one who can lift you out of the darkness of sin into his marvelous light. And friend, all you have to do is to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Yes, a sinner that needs to be saved. You've got to repent of your sin, and then you simply trust Jesus Christ alone as your only means of having eternal life. Now the second type of impotency mentioned in John chapter 5 and verse 3 is the halt. The halt. And these would speak, I believe, in spiritual application of those who are crippled or maimed and therefore unable to enjoy the divine blessing and provision of God. I believe it speaks to us of those who, because of various conditions which exist in their lives, they are either unwilling or unable to make the necessary step towards Christ. Perhaps they're among the halt because of their love for pleasure. Perhaps they're among the halt because of their love for money. Perhaps they're among the halt because of their love for position or popularity, success, and personal glory. And perhaps they halt because they lack the courage to take a stand and to live for the one who died for them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, remember this. Remember this. God will never force a sinner to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. If you want the world with all of its pleasures, then go ahead. Drink the bitter cup of pleasure and poison until you drop into hell. And friend, don't forget, in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, here's what God says. Rejoice, O young man, or young woman for that matter, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And for you who are so engrossed with making money and attaining worldly position that you have no time to accept Christ and live for him, friend, listen. Jesus himself tells us in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Answer that question, my friend, in the light of eternity. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Yes, friend, you'll go ahead and wrap yourself up in things of time and sense. But God says in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Friend, as sure as you're listening to my voice today, you're going to stand before God, yes, the God of all creation and His Son, Jesus Christ. And what will you say? Will you say you didn't have time to get saved? Will you say you weren't warned of coming judgment? No, the Bible says your mouth will be stopped, but your ears will be open, and you'll hear these terrible words. Cast them into outer darkness, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, perhaps I'm talking to someone out there in Radio Land today who is among the halt because they lack the courage to take a stand for Jesus Christ. These same people experience little or no difficulty when it comes to taking sides on any political, social, or economic issue of the day. Yet they fear man rather than God. Yes, when it comes to the point of their soul's eternal welfare, they rather fear man rather than the God of heaven in whose hand their very breath is. They want to remain neutral and thus not run the risk of offending their friends. Listen, sinner. You're either for or against Jesus Christ, because neutral you cannot be. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and money. Now maybe someone listening in today is considering accepting Christ as his Savior, but you're not quite sure it'd be the right thing for you to do. You're semi-satisfied with your present form of religious doctrine, and yet something seems to be telling you that you're not bidding fair for heaven. In other words, you're confused. Well, friend, the prophet Elijah asked the people in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, how long halt ye between two opinions? Friends, the word of God makes it quite clear that we're all sinners. We all have to be saved if we're ever going to be in heaven. It also tells us that failure to accept God's Son as our own and personal Savior will mean eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Now I ask you, are you serving sin and Satan, or are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you this much, friend. If there's never been a time in your life when you acknowledged your condition before God and then made a stand for Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you are still on the broad road that leads to the place that Jesus Christ calls hell, the place of eternal flames. Yes, my friend, and that for all eternity. Now, friends, I'm fully aware of the meaning of what I've just been saying. God has provided a sacrifice for sin in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you, as an individual sinner, refuse to accept that sacrifice, then according to the infallible word of Almighty God, your soul will spend eternity in hell's fire. Now, the third type of impotency, mentioned in John chapter 5 and verse 3, is the withered. And these, I believe, would speak to us of those who are so engrossed with and weakened by sin that the word of God has little or no effect upon them. These would include those whose lives would seem to indicate a complete lack of conscience, a lack of ethics and moral fiber. Their walk and their talk display an exuberance of gross sin. Their hearts are hardened, and they have no love for God or anything God-like. They make the Lord Jesus Christ a subject of filthy conversation and a name to be spewed from a stench-filled mouth at the least provocation. These people are so withered, both physically and spiritually, that they are never found in a church with a meeting convened for the purpose of worship. And these people make no pretense at being a Christian. Yes, these are the ones with whom so-called respectable people would not even associate. They are the outcasts of any community and the ones from which small children are warned to flee. And I can't help but wonder if there isn't some spiritually withered soul who is even now listening to this broadcast of the gospel. Perhaps I'm speaking to some poor soul who is so filled with drugs or alcohol that you can't even get up off the bed or the chair to turn off the program. If so, listen to me, friend. Listen. Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven and died on Calvary's cross for every one of your sins. Yes, he knew your weakness for sin, and he hates your sin with an infinite hatred. But thank God he loves you. He loves you, my friend. In 1 John 4 and verse 10, here's what we read. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Again, in that well-known verse, John 3 and verse 16, here's what Jesus Christ himself says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, I don't care how much of a sinner you are. You may be a great sinner or a little sinner. I don't care how many sins you've ever committed or how you committed them. If you'll right now just trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, every sin you ever committed will disappear as though it were never even committed. In 1 John 1 and 7, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So, friend, I'm sure it's not necessary to convince you that you're a sinner. You've lived a life of open rebellion to both God and man. You've been serving Satan well. And look at you. He's left you all alone with sordid memories, withered body, and a hell-bound soul. Yes, he's broken every promise he ever made. Now he's left you to wither and die. Ah, but friend, listen. Like the Good Samaritan of Luke chapter 10, Jesus Christ is anxious to lift you up in his arms, his loving and gracious arms, and to present you faultless before the throne of God as a testimony of his great love toward you. Will you let him, my friend? Will you? Now, this is no fairy tale I'm speaking to you about. This is the matchless love of God for sinners, lost sinners. And friend, all you have to do to become a new creature in Christ Jesus is to repent of your sin. Acknowledge that he died for you at Calvary. Yes, when he was crucified nearly 2,000 years ago. Friend, the only thing I'm depending upon to take me into God's heaven today is the value and the virtue of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the next type of impotency mentioned in John chapter 5 and verse 3 is the waiting. The waiting. And I believe this would speak to us of those who know that they're sinners on the road to hell, and they know that Jesus Christ is coming again, and they know the Spirit of God can cease striving with their soul, and yet they neglect their soul's eternal welfare by waiting. Waiting. They're procrastinators. Friend, I believe that procrastination is the devil's biggest and greatest weapon. Satan doesn't worry when people are resting their eternal hope on good works and religion. He doesn't worry when he sees them indulging in the pleasures of life. But he does worry when he sees a person that is troubled about his soul. That's when he really goes to work. And millions of souls are in hell today as evidence of his success. I think of that man Felix over in Acts chapter 24, who was under such deep conviction of sin that he actually trembled. And yet he told the apostle Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Friend, we never read where Felix ever had a more convenient season, even though Paul was in that area for 2 more years. And so it is with you, sinner friend. Today is the day of God's grace, but you have no guarantee of tomorrow. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 we read, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And over in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, here's what we read. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And friend, listen. Jesus Christ is knocking at your heart's door even now. But he may not knock again. By this time tomorrow, your body could be cold in death. And soon, under the ground. But how about your soul? If you die unsaved, your soul would be tormented in the flames of hell forever and forever and forever. Some time ago, a young high school girl and daughter of a Christian mother was cut down out of time by a speeding automobile. She had heard the gospel hundreds of times, but had procrastinated once too often. No doubt the Holy Spirit of God had dealt with her and sought to point her to Jesus Christ. But she waited. She put it off. She put it off. I wonder if there's someone listening to this broadcast today, and you're waiting. You're putting it off. You're telling the Holy Spirit of God, maybe some other time, but not today. Friend, what are you waiting for? You're waiting for God's hand of righteous judgment to fall down upon your Christ-rejecting soul. Listen to the words of this hymn. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Friend, would you like to be saved today? Let me ask you, friend. You who are listening in today, are you really saved? I didn't ask if you were baptized. There are millions of souls who were baptized that are down in hell today, and they're crying for the water they were baptized in. I didn't ask if you've gone forward to the altar. There are millions of souls down in hell today. They got to the altar. They never got to Jesus Christ. Friend, has there ever been a time when, a place where, and a manner how, you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life? Have you ever been born again by the Spirit of God from above? If not, then why not be like those in John chapter 5 and come to the divine provision, the Lord Jesus Christ? Right now, wherever you are and wherever you may be, just believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow our hearts in thy presence again today to thank thee for thy well-beloved Son. We thank thee for all of thy love and mercy and grace expressed in him. And our God, we thank thee for extending the day of grace so that others might hear the gospel and have another opportunity to trust thy Son as Savior and Lord before it's eternally too late. O God, may thy Holy Spirit through thy word even now be bringing both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of those who are listening and still outside of Christ. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.